You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's July 15th, 2025. As you're watching this, we're recording this Monday, July 14th at 1:30-ish p.m. on the left coast. That's where we're at in the universe and time and space. I'm Trey, and that's Mark, and this is Skews. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. Just reading about how the DOD has signed a contract with Grok to do some, like, literally the week after the fucking stupid chatbot called itself Mecha Hitler, went all in on starting the second Holocaust, and became obsessed with raping one guy. Have you seen this story?
What's his name?
Will Stancil. He ran for state house in Minnesota, so like an internet pundit. But like, it's just like, oh God, I don't know what anybody's doing anymore.
But also, didn't that, what's that mean about the, you know, because it's also not very long after Trump went on his little diet, you know, Trump and Elon had the little bitch fest. And part of which was Trump saying, well, you know what? Maybe we'll just take all of his contracts, and Elon being like, fucking take them. I don't give a, see if I give a fuck, you know, or whatever. Like, that just happened. So,
And Elon, like, when we talk about the fallout from the Epstein shit, because it's fucking hilarious. And it's like, we ain't in it. They never fight. We can just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like Elon's all in on calling Trump like the head of the pedophile cabal, right? And like, they're just giving him more I can't make any sense of it.
Right.
So before we get to the show, I want to talk about some goings on in New York City, or New York City residents at least. So Eric Adams, apparently, who's running as an independent to get reelected because he was so unpopular, he didn't even bother running in the Democratic primary. And someone apparently told him that Zora Mondami is good at the internet, so he should try being on the internet. So he made one of those IG, like, morning routine videos. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do. I'm sure you've seen the big, huge Jack Black guy who went viral for having the most egregious morning routine video of all time.
Well, it's now the second most egregious. Okay. So Matt's calling up this first freeze frame that we got where it says 8:57 a.m. where he's getting ready. And the clock on the wall, if you can't read it, it's probably too small, and our viewer says 5 minutes to 11.
Right? That's hilarious, man.
And then because he's doing a fake routine where he's like pretending to brush his teeth and shit and like whatever, so they're just chopping it up. So the next screen grab says 9 a.m., but the clock on the wall says 11. So he's done. It's taken him 5 minutes to do 10 seconds worth of work to pretend it's 3 minutes later.
Yeah, 2 hours later in the actual day also.
Right, because he doesn't live in the place he's pretending to be in. It's like he just woke up. He fucking woke up in the place he actually lived and went to the apartment he pretends to live in the city. It's like that whole fucking thing. I'm going to miss him when he's gone, dude. I'm just going to miss him so much.
So it's obviously, I'm sure he does get up early in the morning and does whatever, but it's like, this just makes it obvious that they, like, had the idea to capitalize on a, you know, social media trend, or they're like, you know, have you seen those morning routine videos? We should. And then, you know, clearly they just attempted to fake the whole thing, but completely incompetently in a way that would, like, you know, fit in on an episode of The Office or something. The fucking clock in the background right under the caption of the time is almost too much.
So it hanging over all this, all right, is like the billionaires in New York have decided they're going to try to like buy this election, right? And the head billionaire who's like so mad about Mondavi's nomination is Bill Ackman, who, if you're not familiar with this whole thing, he's a billionaire hedge fund guy who was a longtime Democratic donor until he got like radicalized in being a Trump guy by the campus protest after October 7th. Like I said, he's trying to figure out, they want to buy the mayoral election for either Adams or Cuomo, but they haven't decided which one they want to light their money on fire for yet. So over the weekend, Bill Ackman got involved in a pretty funny fucking like a sports scandal where he played this minor doubles tournament. Well, I say minor, like my understanding of tennis, I don't really watch tennis, but like there's like three basic levels, right, of professional tennis. You got the major tour, you got one beneath it, then you got the one Bill Ackman played in at a tournament at the Tennis Hall of Fame over the weekend, okay? He played in this, it was called the Hall of Fame Open. He played doubles with a guy named Jack Sock, who is 32 years old and retired and now plays professional pickleball. All right. Bill Ackman's 59 years old. What it looks like he happened, because Sock was a former pro, he's eligible to get a wild card entry. So Ackman seems like he paid him to be his partner so he could plan to fulfill his childhood dream of playing professional tennis for like one day.
All right. Oh, so it's not a pro-am thing. It's like an actual...
It's like double A baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a lower tier men's tour. It's focused. The whole point of this like tour is to give younger people or aspiring players an opportunity to progress their careers. And here, 59-year-old Bill Ackman bought himself a spot in it. It's like a Make-A-Wish program, except there's nothing wrong with him. He's just a fucking moron. Right?
Yeah. Super rich moron, though.
Right.
And they get to make wishes all the time.
Yeah, Andy Roddick was asked about, we talked about it on his podcast, the former world number one, former champ. He said, quote, "You don't give a wild card to someone who 50 players in my club are better than." He's just really sad for watching this. So the American Tennis, the ATP, was contacted by CNN Sports. They pointed to the rule on wild cards, and here is their response. They were just like, "Hey, what's up with Bill Ackman and this?" And they came back spontaneously with, "Players may not receive compensation, and players may not offer compensation in exchange for rewarding of a wild card." They weren't asked about compensation.
Mm-hmm.
They just said that. Also involved in this, the people they were playing were clearly taking it easy on Ackman. They won in straight sets, but only by a couple of points. Everyone involved knew they were babying him, so obviously he paid off his opponents too. And Ackman went on Twitter, because he's a fucking social media addict, and said that the fact they took it easy on him actually made it harder on him because it, quote, "it made it more difficult as he had too much time to think." Trey, he literally said because they hit the ball slower at him, it made it confusing for him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. These people do. They just can't admit any kind of like weakness or whatever, however you want to put it. Like their egos are just so out of control. You know, it's like, yeah, I know. I acknowledge everyone can tell they're taking it easy on me, but what you don't understand is that actually makes it much more impressive the way I perform, because it's far more difficult that way.
Yeah.
For reasons you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. I'm such a high-level athlete as a 59-year-old who's never played professional tennis that like these people taking it easy on me just threw me off my game, right? And anyway, after all this criticism all weekend, being accused of bribery, he made a $10 million donation to the Tennis Hall of Fame. So after being accused of bribing his way into getting to play professional tennis for one afternoon, he tried to bribe his way out of people being mad at him for it.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's what it's about, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail or whatever. That's how these billion, you know, it's the only way he knows how to approach things. It's just throwing money at it. It usually works.
Yeah, Bill Ackman, I just want to say, I will stop making fun of you for $10 million as well. Yeah.
All right. Producer Matt is with us. This is his weekly skews. Before we continue, of course, I got my weekly reminders. First, if you want to see me do stand-up, comedy live and in person, and you should, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I'm going to be in La Jolla, California. That's down there in San Diego, as anyone who would come to those shows already knows. At the Comedy Store this weekend with my buddy Caleb Sinan, who's also hilarious. Then after that, we got Omaha, Des Moines, Kansas City, Indy, Austin, St. Louis, and a bunch more coming up in the fall, all at treycrowder.com, where you also can find a link to my most recent special called Trash Daddy on YouTube. So let's see. Also, if you want to get some good news in your life for once. You know, we report the important things here, and most of those things are upsetting. But Matt tries to balance the scales. Producer Matt's got a fun project on the audio feed for the show called Good Skews. So that's the podcast version, the non-video version. Subscribe to that, and you will have access to the audio-exclusive Good Skews from Producer Matt. And finally, if you want to support the show and get some more of it in the process, you can sign up on Patreon by going to weeklyskews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes, just additional episodes of this show, although sometimes, like right now, we're in the middle of doing a Q&A, we call them, where we answer your burning questions. So support the show, get some more of it in the process, sign up on Patreon. Okay, as for this week's episode, we're still talking about, as light of the country is, the goings on surrounding the Epstein files and the backlash to the handling thereof from Trump and his DOJ. And Trump, you know, who seems pretty upset about everyone's refusal to just, you know, think about things that really matter and let this guy die and move on for once. He would prefer that. And so that's not what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But first, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Knights DD, Joe Biden's FEMA for turning the residents of Maui.
The situation in Lahaina was so bad that 1 in 6 survivors were forced to trade sexual favors, other favors for just basic supplies. At the
For the first watch, I was like, at least she's being gender inclusive. But then on the second watch, she's just referring to women. But like, so like, the layers of fucking insanity here. She's addressing FEMA staff here, Trey. This is an internal fucking meeting, like Zoom meeting.
Right. So that's what I was about to ask, because she's saying all that as a criticism of FEMA, right? The way FEMA handled it and Joe Biden. What is her position? Because obviously they're during the Texas floods and everything, it took the Trump iteration of FEMA and the current director like a week to show up or whatever. He was like AWOL. So like, what is her position on FEMA? You know,
that's what she's doing there, is being like, well, at least we weren't as bad as Joe Biden because nobody in Central Texas is giving blowjobs for bottled water.
All right.
So like, but like, okay, so these people's picture of humanity is so fucking bleak. Forget the idea that women would have to do that. Imagine being the guy with the bottled water who's demanding a hand job in exchange for it.
Right.
Do you have like what is, who do they imagine? Like, fuck. So what she's doing there, there was a real study. Like she's misrepresenting a real study by an advocacy group that interviewed 70 Filipina migrant workers about the status of their life after the wildfires. And they lost all their work and stuff. So they interviewed 70 women. So 1 in 6 means 11 women. And the question was worded vaguely enough that it could have been like an awkward hug from a landlord or something, right? So like it was not any way, never intended to represent every resident of Maui or in any way, shape, or form. Was turning to sex work. It's absolutely fucking insane. But I think what she did, there's like this old, it's an apocryphal story in Hawaiian history. Where like when John Cook, air quote, discovered Hawaii, it crash landed there because of a storm. That like the guys on his ship were trading nails from the ship for sex. Mm-hmm. With the natives. So she must believe there's something innate to the Hawaiian spirit that they love trading butt stuff for sundries. So going back to their actual flood response, fuck, goddamn, there's like a call center for people to call for help, not for like emergency help, but for like middle term stuff. Like we need water here, power, yada, yada, yada. A bunch of contractors at the call center were laid off in the middle of the fucking response because Nome didn't green light the renewal of their contract. So the result of this was...
That's what I was about to ask about the famous... Is it like more about like Doge, you know, fucking axe handles, smashing government cuts type shit, or incompetence under Trump where they just fuck everything up so bad, or like a combination of... Of both, you know. So, like, she didn't renew their contract, but just because she sucks at the job and meant to do it and just didn't, or because they're, you know, they're still doing their, like, government efficiency stuff and purposefully let the contract expire.
She has to personally approve every expenditure of over 6 figures. So, like, nothing can happen without her say-so.
Right.
Like, they can't even gas up the emergency choppers for, like, less than $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's nothing can move. This is like stories you hear about the Soviet Union, like the Chernobyl response. Right. So, like, the basic math numbers here, so that according to the New York Times, on July 11th, only two-thirds of the calls to the disaster assistance hotline went unanswered. And answer rates dipped to 35% on July 6th and 15.9% on July 7th. So, hundreds of contractors got fired. She didn't renew these contracts until July 10th. So, like, just right in the middle of all this, like, so to walk you through this, so it was renewed 5 days after they expired and 6 days after the flooding. We're going to come back to this flood response in a second, but I want to just want to note here that Kristi Noem is quietly becoming one of the most insane liars in America, even for this government. Here's another clip of her talking about immigration last week.
The other day I was talking to some marshals that have been partnering with ICE. They said that they had detained a cannibal and put him on a plane to take him home. And while they had him in his seat, he started to eat himself.
What?
And they had to take him off and give him medical attention. These are the kind of deranged individuals that are on our streets.
So, I mean, what, like, is that, you said earlier, it's like she's misrepresenting a study that was actually about this. Is there a version of that here that she, or is that just like, yeah, like God only knows. Yeah. I don't know. Nope. It's wild. You said she's becoming one of the most insane liars in America. And it's crazy because she was already one of the most insane, like, I don't want to call her a truth teller, but I'm saying she told the truth about killing her dog and all that stuff. Like, she admitted to insane shit also when she should have lied about it, maybe, or just obviously not done it to begin with. And then now lies about, you know, insane shit when you don't even need to. There's no reason to tell a lie about a guy eating himself in a fucking on an airplane.
We're assuming she was honest. She said she shot her dog, but she also, after that, said she never read the book and her ghostwriter made up that story about her shooting her dog.
Right.
So this whole flood response just like reeks of that kind of steady professionalism. You mentioned the acting administrator of FEMA, a guy by the name of David Richardson. He's the guy that did not know there was such a thing as hurricane season. And that leaked, he said he was joking. Like, you just joke around to the staff at FEMA about being surprised there's such a thing as a hurricane season. He finally visited Texas Hill Country on Saturday, you know, more than a week after the flood. Here's what he showed up wearing, if you got this picture, Matt. Jesus fucking Christ.
That looks like my one of my best friends growing up, his alcoholic divorced dad, when he would, like, be heading out trolling for ass on the weekends or whatever when he was home from driving his tugboat on the Mississippi River. That's how he used to dress. I could almost smell his fucking, like, brute cologne or whatever it is through this picture right here. Also,
yeah, rest in peace. If you're just listening to the podcast, Fia, sorry, rest in peace to your buddies. Yeah. So, like, he's wearing a short-sleeve shirt with the sleeves still rolled up, but it's unbuttoned to down below his nipples. Mm-hmm. Is he trying to bag fresh widows after the flooding, or what the fuck are you doing?
Right. Yeah. What's that? What's the? Is that some kind of chain? Is that dog tags or something? Or is that like?
It looked like dog tags to me. Yeah. I don't know his background.
Okay.
So lost in all this, like the stuff they're defunding, FEMA is like a support organization, right? But like the majority of like disaster responses are local agencies or volunteers. And you and I both grew up pretty rural, so I think we know that there are a ton of volunteer firefighters in America, but I didn't realize it was this many. Roughly 85% of fire departments across the country are volunteer or mostly volunteer, according to the database run by FEMA. Mm-hmm. FEMA runs the National Fire Academy that trains all these people for free. So these are people who are willing to risk their lives for free to save their neighbors. All they're offered in exchange for it is a free plane ticket to go to some training, and FEMA's like, no, fuck you, drown.
Right. It's, I don't know, man. It's all fucked up. Again, it's like, I think that people just don't think about how things happen or get done, you know what I mean? Or the necessity of it. It's like we talked about recently. It's like they think that things that they do like or that everyone like, you know, when something's on fire, you want firefighters to show up, but they don't think about how that actually happens or what the government's role might be in it, you know, even with volunteer departments, the fact that they train them for free or whatever. It's like, you know, shit just gets taken for granted and then fucked up by.
Yeah. My first job, or job's loose. I get paid $5 cash at the end of the night, but I was like 8, 9 years old. I was like hanging targets for the turkey shoot at the fire department. That was how they raised money for a lot of their operations. Just like, basically it's gambling where you shoot at a target with a shotgun.
Yes. Right? Yeah. I think they called them, meat shoots in Salina, but it was the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. You basically gamble and shoot at a shotgun target, and then the person with the closest, who's with a shot made a hole closest to the center target, wins like meat or chihuahua cheese or whatever, right?
Right.
That would like, or they would, the guys would get together and cook a big, like a huge cauldron of stew and sell mm-hmm. pints of it for like $5 or $10. Like that's how you keep the community afloat in places like we're from.
Right.
And all they, all they're asking for the federal government is some training. And Trump's like, nah. So a little bit of a fun dystopian side note to this. This thing is happening where people all over this country, I think it happened in Florida too, this story's out of Oklahoma, are trying to damage local TV stations' weather equipment.
Yeah.
They think it controls the weather.
I just came back from Tulsa and I looked up. I was in Tulsa this weekend and I do this everywhere I go. I look up like, you know, Oklahoma news or whatever state I'm in, just to see what's going on. So if there's something I can talk about. And I mm-hmm. saw this story of this dude who was the leader of some, it was pretty funny. Cause they said they like, I'm assuming it's the same guy you're talking about, but they were like his group, his anti-government militia group or whatever was like targeting weather radars. And the Oklahoma news station had like reached out to the guy and interviewed him and had asked him like, is it true? And he was just like, just completely unapologetic. He's like, yeah, we're gonna do a hell of a lot more than that too, all right, because I know what's going on here. You're defying fucking, you're playing God and fucking causing, but just absolute lunatic who thinks that. And they also interviewed a meteorologist who was like, okay, just so everyone's clear, these are how we know when like tornadoes are going to happen. This is how we know when things are bad,
which you would know if you were causing them, Trey.
Right. Yes, right. Yeah, he's like, but this guy's saying we're yeah. using them to make tornadoes mm-hmm. or whatever. For God only knows what reason, but yeah, it's fucking, and that dude, Oklahoma's maybe the worst place for something like that to happen, by the way.
Right.
But it also makes sense if you're a lunatic, because that's where the weather is the worst, you know, so you're going to think that's where they're going the hardest with their weather machines, I guess, but.
Yeah. Tornadoes have the shortest warning of any weather thing that I can think of outside of maybe monsoons. And like, so like, yeah, you need the most alerts there and they're just absolutely not going to do it. So yeah, you're talking about a guy named Michael Lewis Arthur Meyer, who's the head of a group called Veterans on Patrol. And yeah, News Channel 9 asked him if he the Veterans on Patrol is classified by as an anti-government militia, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And his quote was that you were just alluding to is they were asked. Meyer was asked if Veterans on Patrol was responsible for this guy who damaged the weather station, and he said Veterans on Patrol is responsible for a lot more than that. So they're going to do the Oklahoma City bombing, but of clouds,
right?
No. But yeah, the guy that actually got arrested or got charged, his name is Anthony Tyler Mitchell. He's 39 years old. And here's him. He damaged the camera after they got his picture.
That's pretty poetic. It makes sense coming from these people. I didn't bring up that story specifically because I know, I mean, the crowd would have heard it already or whatever. But what I did talk about was like, I realized like it's wild. This is actually a good sign of how truly insane the times we're living in are, is this, right? Because it's like, you can't even bring up the fucking weather anymore without, you know, perhaps inciting a fight with some lunatic in your family or causing some big argument. Like that used to be the goat. If you didn't know what to talk to a person about, the cliche was you just bring up the weather and that's always going to be fine. But it's like now, you know, you'll be at Thanksgiving. It's like just whatever you do, do not mention the weather to your Uncle Randy because he's really on one about the weather right now. And it's like, that's fucking, that shit is wild.
Yeah, so that's where we're at right now, is like a guy who is mad at the weather in a different state is destroying a TV station's radar systems, doing stochastic terrorism in a dog T-shirt. It looks like he bought it at the gas station. So, mm-hmm. So let's talk about some contradictions being heightened.
Absolutely.
So this Epstein shit, man, like as this is an anthropologist to fucking this like online fascistic movement, it's like fucking fascinating. I think we've reached the limits of how much you can lie to people, especially about a truly insane, dumb issue. But dumb is like dumb because they misconstrue it, not because there weren't real victims or whatever, not that there aren't real concerns, but like this is an issue they care deeply about.
Right.
And they're just straight up being fucking gaslit about it. And they're going right. goddamn insane. But the rest of us have been right. doing for 10 years.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly. 100%. That's what, because like, unlike, I feel like a lot of things where it's like, you know, we're talking about how do people in my hometown justify the shit that Trump does that fucks over to towns like mine very explicitly? And it's like, well, they blame the Democrats or whatever. They don't see it that way, or they don't know about it and they get different information. But it's like with this story in particular, they've been like heavily bought into it for so long. It's been a huge priority for them.
And their whole position has been, you know, it's because this is going to blow the whole thing wide open on the, you know, the evil Democrat-led global cabal of pedophiles, you know, with ringleader Bill Clinton and whoever else. And Trump is going to be the one that shines the fucking, you know, incandescent light of justice on the whole thing or whatnot. And so in this particular case, when Trump, even though he's their guy, when he's, you know, when he says to them, like, no, everything's fine, it's not a big, you know, just shut up, stop worrying about it, they're having more trouble than usual with just, being like, oh, yes, sir, you're right, and moving on. And it is like, you know, it's interesting. I have no expectations for these people at the end of the day. I'm sure they'll find their way back to, you know, toeing the line or whatever. But it is, this is the first time I can ever remember something like this really happening.
This is the first time there's ever been a Trump-related controversy that has his own base pissed at him.
Right, exactly. It's, yeah, in 10 years, I can't ever remember another time that this has happened. So it is interesting for sure.
Yeah, and you can't, like, you're like trying to lie to QAnon types and hardcore anti-Semites about, like, the nature of Jeffrey Epstein and what might be in the case files. It's like trying to lie to you, about the layout of your house.
Right.
Like, they know this shit front and back.
Right.
And it is, there's a lot of deeply weird stuff around Epstein. And you saying, like, oh, there's nothing there is like, it reads like, yeah, you're literally like, you're pissing in my mouth and telling me that it's raining. You know what I'm saying? It's like, just, but it's just like the way Trump bumblefucked this, because, like, the last week's show, we came on here and they put out the statement saying it actually was no Epstein list. And we joked about it for a minute, then we moved on. But the next day, they had that big cabinet meeting where Trump yelled at a reporter for asking about it. And that's really what jumped all this off, right? It's just like a crisis PR bumblefucking masterclass. Check out this graph of the Google search results for Trump versus Trump and Epstein. It's went up like 350% in the course of the last week. I feel like Charlie Daniels here, Benghazi ain't going away, but, like, Jesus Christ. So that got everybody mad at him. Then on Saturday, he posted a statement on his own social media platform, Truth Social. He got ratioed on his own social media platform that's exclusively for his supporters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting booed at your own birthday party.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And it's like, it's the first time anything like this has happened with them, because especially they're just like, you know, they're the most fucking bootlicking true believers there are, generally, for the most part. And then, but now this is like, we thought this whole time, it's like, is there a bridge that's too far for these people? It's like, maybe there even isn't, and there still might not be, but it's like, this seems like perhaps at least some of them have reached the proverbial bridge too far,
right,
on this subject.
I'm not saying there's, like, some great political realignment happening here, but, like, there were a ton of people who thought the vote for Trump was a vote against the corrupt elite deep state. And then the past month, you've got Iran, the budget, Epstein. So maybe they'll be realizing they've just voted for a standard issue Republican. And for the health of society, redistributing the lunatics across the political spectrum would be really helpful.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have a society with no lunatics.
Right. Yeah, no.
We need to be divided up among, like, the Democrats, Republicans, libertarians, non-voters, alien people. Spread them out, right?
But although some of them, and I'm sure you've seen them or whatever, but, like, some of the truest of true believers, they've already, like, moved on. Meaning, like, you know, Corey put some in our group chat or whatever, like, some guys on X just literally saying, like, listen, I think at this point it's pretty clear that Trump was probably involved with the Epstein stuff and molested some children or whatever. But he's still a great man and a great president. And as Christians, we must find it in our heart to forgive him, because there are more important things than being a child predator or whatever. And it's just like, it's wild to have a person whose brain works enough to go, like, well, look, I can't deny any of this. This looks pretty bad. You're right. I have to acknowledge that. But also, I'm totally okay with it. Like, it's weird to have a person who can do both of those things, you know?
The wildest one Corey said was, somebody's like, what if it happened to your daughter? And the guy was like, well, Jesus says to forgive, so I guess I'd have to. Like, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Joe Biden tried to help him out this morning. Joe Biden, I have no idea why he's doing interviews anymore. But this is controversy bubbling on the right about, like, him using an auto pen to sign a bunch of stuff, including pardons. And so he gave an interview where he admitted they used the auto pen a lot, which is, like, legal. Presidents do it all the time. But, like, the magosphere gave them something to complain about. But, like, they basically want Dr. Fauci's pardon to not be enforceable so they can execute Dr. Fauci. So,
sure.
Fox News this morning that like they mentioned the auto pen, Joe Biden 46 times and Epstein zero. So they found they gave him a morning off, but I don't think this is going to be enough to get him through. But the funniest response is Mike Lawler on CNN earlier today. It might have been yesterday. Because Mike Lawler is a Republican congressman from New York.
And as I said, if somebody did something, if there is evidence of a crime committed, then prosecute them. In the absence of that, what are we talking about?
You say there's a lot of nonsense. A lot of nonsense from whom? What do you think? Explain to me what you think the nonsense is.
Well, frankly, the fact that you're even covering this. I mean, I don't even understand, frankly, what why we're spending a lot of time on Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay. Okay. Because the president made it a central campaign plank to a large chunk of his base and then is talking about it in the White House. The FBI director used to go on QAnon podcast and talk about the Epstein files. The second in command of the FBI had his own podcast. We talked about the Epstein files. Pam Bondi said she was about to release an Epstein list, a client list. She says no longer exists. These people made it. I don't like to live in a fucking culture right now where we spend a lot of our political discourse talking about billionaire pedophiles. I don't think that's fucking sane or helpful, but like, I didn't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, I know they do this type of shit to themselves all the time. I feel like, you know, getting in messes that they themselves made, but you know, just as we've already said, it's just different this time because it's like usually that doesn't matter. Like usually they do that, and then when they say, "Why are we talking about this?" and then everybody, all the MAGA base, just like, "Yeah, why are we talking about this?" and then it's over, and all the rest of us on the other side are like, "This is fucking crazy," you know. And they're like, "Ah, get over it." That's normally what happens, but they somehow didn't realize that this specific issue was you know different for them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, telling the Boston Red Sox fans that the 2004 title has been vacated or something. Let me quote Matt Walsh, conservative, very popular conservative hate monger influencer, okay?
Uh-huh.
The attorney general said she had the client list on her desk. The White House made a big show of giving binders marked Epstein files phase one to a bunch of influencers. Now they tell us there is no list and we should stop talking about it. Well, why did you say there was a list? Why did you pull that stunt with the influencers? Why did you call it phase one, obviously implying that there were more phases to come? Like, they're painting themselves in the weirdest corner because now their only two options are to fess up to having misled the supporters for the last decade or be seen as part of the cover-up. There's not really a third option here.
Right. And well, and by the way, I mean, why did they do that stuff? I know that the one thing she got, like, we showed it on here where that lady at breakfast with, like, a hidden camera or something asked her about it. And she kind of got put on the spot and said some shit about, oh, they're on my desk. We're going to be working through them or whatever. And it's like, that's one thing. But all this stuff that Matt Walsh just pointed out, like, I mean, why did they do that? You know, here's phase one. Where did they think it was going?
They're just trying to get through the next 5 minutes with a lie. That's everything all the time. Right. So I don't understand, like, people hate being played for fucking dupes about anything. It doesn't really matter the stakes of it. And it's like the question is, like, are Trump's minions covering it up, or do they exploit the sexual abuse of children to help get their guy elected? The third option, the only person I've seen go with this is the normal QAnon thing. Scott Adams did this, the Dilbert guy. He was like, this is still part of the plan. Trump's winking at us, tell us, like, don't pay attention. Like, the real answer is coming later, which is what Trump has to hope happens is the QAnon instincts come in where this is all just part of it. The funniest part of Trump's statement was saying that the Epstein files, the whatever's in there, is an Obama, Hillary, Biden plot against him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Epstein was doing, he's been doing it since the 80s. And the original cover-up of the first criminal investigation that's initiated with West Palm Beach Sheriff's Office ended up with the FBI, that happened under the George W. Bush presidency. So, in my opinion, it's bad tradecraft for Obama, Hillary, and the deep state to generate fake Epstein files, but then forget to implicate anyone in MAGA in these fake files, which they therefore do not release, which Trump has seen and also won't release.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. It's like, A, him saying that implies that's like almost like a tacit admission. Yeah, I am in them. Yes. But, you know, but it's Barack's bullshit is all it is. But then, like you said, but they, Biden was in there for 4 years. Obama's boy, you know, Epstein was fucking long dead by the time that even happened. Like, if that was true, why did they not? They had him, you know what I mean? If they orchestrated the whole thing to frame Trump and these Epstein files or whatever, Why would they not take him down while Biden was in the White House or during the campaign or whatever? Like, why would they just fucking sit on him? And if they had a reason to sit on him because it wasn't going to work in their favor, then why would Trump then sit on them when he gets in office, you know, if it could exonerate him or whatever? Like, it just none of it makes any fucking sense at all.
And it really is this dumb. It'd be tough to parse Trump's, like, because Trump talks in meandering ways or whatever. But if you boil down his case, it's essentially these three points. Okay, there are no files. I am not in the files that don't exist. And also the fake files are fake.
Right. And also, if I am in the fake files that are fake, it's because that they, you know, that it's a frame job. But I'm not in them. But if I am, that's why. And also, there's no files. But if there are files, then those. Yeah.
So you can tie yourself in knots about all this shit. Like, screw your brain into a fucking mass, a jumbled mass of nothing. But, like, if you want to keep it simple, if Trump were overseeing a cover up on behalf of the rich buddies he just gave a tax cut to, what would look any different?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the funniest part of this, they've released a cut of the video feed from the prison where Epstein killed himself, or air quote killed himself, depending on, I think it's more likely not he killed himself, but like whatever. So
no, I agree with you. It's like we talked about before. It's like that doesn't really even change as much as people act like it does. Like it's still,
Right. So they released the video and there was like a minute missing, but Pam Bondi's excuse was funny. It's funny to me because I know no one's going to buy it. But it sort of makes sense between how government computers work. But she's saying, like, they don't have enough room to store everything. The system resets every night at midnight. So from midnight to 12:01 every night, it's missing in every night. That seems stupid enough to be plausible to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it also creates, if you're watching enough heist movies, like, that's the minute when you would do the killing,
right? Of course, yeah. Right, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, that feels like a contrived, like, you know, weakness in the security system in a heist movie that they can, you know, that someone uncovers that they can exploit or whatever. That if you watched it, you'd be like, well, why would it work like that? That's pretty convenient, you know. So it'd be funny if it actually did.
It's the womp rat sized hole in the Death Star.
Yeah, right.
So, but they didn't release the video files they released, besides having a missing minute, the metadata shows it had been edited. Now, I don't know anything about metadata, but obviously neither does the Doge intern who fucking edited this video clip, because you would not, there's ways to cover it up that I'm not smart enough to do that they did not do. So I don't think this is conspiratorial, but it's obviously stupid. It's going to rile up the conspiracy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but while on the subject of data, I do think it's deeply funny. Wired Magazine got a hold, they bought some data packets from commercial data brokers and were able to track location data for a bunch of people that went to Epstein's Island, all right, and figure out, they did not publicly say if they had suspicions over who any individuals were, right? But they just know where they're coming from. It's mostly people from, Martha's Vineyard, Southern Florida, and Central Texas, okay?
Right, okay.
But there were zero phones going to Epstein's Island from Europe. But we know that, like, there were French girls that were trafficked there, and that Prince Andrew hung out there. And it's like, the best guess is because Europe has better data privacy laws. What I'm saying is, if we let the elites know that unless they give us better data protections, we will know when they go to the pedophile island, we might get better data privacy laws. All I'm saying.
Right, yeah, there you go. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure they'd just find a way to make it only apply to them somehow, but...
right. So the whole reason Trump put out that statement on Saturday was because the entire MAGA movement was turning on Pam Bondi, and he wanted, let me quote here from his statement, they're all going after Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's doing a fantastic job. This is after, the reason they were mad at her is because Dan Bongino, number two at the FBI, took a mental health day on Friday because he was so upset over the Epstein stuff.
That's so hilarious.
Oh my God. So they're like, fire Pam, keep Dan, right? And like, but Bondi is the least implicated person here.
Right.
She's not run for higher office slamming Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes. But she is, a woman and also a convenient scapegoat or whatever. I'm kind of just surprised that Trump even went to bat for her, like, at all because of that, unless it's, you know, because she can make things more, you know, difficult for the whole thing if he does. And, you know, she turn on come her clean, at this stage. Yeah right.
She's never going to come clean because she's a thoroughly corrupt person. I'm saying, like, I'm not defending her. She is a piece of shit. I'm just saying, like, she didn't grift off the Epstein stuff, nor was she implicated in any of it. She was Attorney General of Florida, but not until 2011 after the first Epstein case was already resolved, right? But Cash Patel, man, we got to watch this clip of him in 2023 and remember that at this current moment, presently, he is the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
Who has Jeffrey Epstein's black book? Yeah. But who? That is, that I mean, there's...
Oh, that's under direct control of the director of the FBI. Just like the manifesto.
Yeah, it's so funny because now he is the director of the FBI.
Here's a tweet Cash posted, just, I think it was Thursday or Friday. The conspiracy theories just aren't true. Never have been. It's an honor to serve the president of the United States, and I'll continue to do so for as long as he calls on me. If these guys want to testify to Congress, they were just making this stuff up for years and years to explain and then explain why they thought that was a good idea, then go ahead. But otherwise, fuck off.
Yeah, I don't understand how stuff. I'm always. This has come up before because things like this happen all the time with these people. There's always a clip of themselves from, you know, earlier years, from days gone by where they directly either implicate themselves or, you know, highlight how hypocritical they are, or contradict themselves or whatever. And I just, it's just wild to me the level of like shamelessness you have to have because we all know the era we live in. You know, like he was on a fucking Glenn Beck podcast, wherever it was when he says that. You know what I mean? Like he knows what he used to say. He knows he's full of shit now. And he knows that there's direct physical evidence of all of it. But he still, well, you know, what choice does he have? He still just has to say with a straight face, you know, act like none of that ever happened. And just, you know, try to Jedi mind trick people into thinking that they never saw you do that or say that. And I just don't feel like I have the capacity as a person to even, whatever the like leftist version of that could even be. I don't think I could do that either because it would just, I don't know. I'd go crazy trying to fucking do that shit. What?
You probably need a mental health day if your job is number two at the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to put ourselves in the mind of QAnon people for a second here, with the hardcore MAGA people, the Groypers and shit. Like, they're being deprived of the ending of their movie.
Right.
We talked before about how like Americans are thoroughly movie-brained, but QAnon people are like that on fucking steroids.
Right.
They literally talk about getting a popcorn and watching a show. Like, release the Kraken's from a shitty movie. All this stuff is from shitty movies. Get prepared for the storm or whatever is from a line from a movie. All their expressions, where we go one, where we go all, is from a fucking movie. And they've been promised by themselves and a bunch of MAGA influencers a climax, like a big reveal where a bunch of Democrats, rhinos, and deep state people are led away in chains to be executed.
Right. And it means so much to them, too, because it's like they believe it so hard, it would be so thoroughly vindicating for them. Like, they fantasize about that moment, you know what I mean, when that happens. And they could be, how righteous they can feel and validated and vindicated to all their fucking, all the people that said they were crazy, whatever else. They could be like, oh, see, I knew it. I fucking knew it. I tried to tell you all, that's how much it means to them, you know.
They think their estranged families will have to apologize, and then this Christmas they'll get to see the grandkids for the first time in years.
Right.
That's what they think. That's what they think they're being deprived of here. And like this conspiracy canon, the Eye of Sauron, once it gets turned on you, I'm not sure how you get it off you, because like there's this meme among like, and this is part of what Grok was doing when it went full Nazi last week. It kept using the white supremacist meme noticing. Are you familiar with this, Trey?
Noticing?
They frame a lot of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories where they piece them together as like noticing connections. A lot of noticing is just noticing someone has like a Jewish surname, right? Oh, involved in something. So, but like there, a lot of conspiracy theorizing is just noticing connections, right? So like, and piece them together in a way that sort of makes reality make sense, or the reality rarely makes sense. So going back like to June 6th, when Elon and Trump were hardcore fighting the first time, when Elon posted Trump was in the Epstein files, later that day, Trump released a statement from a lawyer named David Schoen, who represented Epstein for 9 days before his death. Okay. So this guy represented him just long enough, hypothetically, to help set up the murder. Okay. And Schoen said in this statement, "I can authoritatively, unequivocally, and definitively say he had no information to hurt President Trump. I specifically asked that." So this guy's version of the story is he specifically asked his client, "Do you have dirt on the president?"
Mm-hmm.
And then Epstein said no, and then now he's violating attorney-client privilege to vindicate Donald Trump, who he went on to represent as a second impeachment hearing. So what do you do once you notice that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You had another thumbtack to the cork board, you know, a little red string out.
So all these mega influencers basically choose between Trump or pissing off their audiences. Like, and their choices have been fascinating so far. Like, so like you talk about audience capture, man, even if these guys believe Trump, they can't really say so because then they lose their audience. And they have to fucking get a real job. I don't think that's going to happen. So Betty Johnson has picked his viewer side. Scott Adams, I told you, said this is part of the plan. Charlie Kirk said he's not going to, Trump called him and yelled at him. So he's not going to talk about Epstein anymore. So he's just basically choosing the middle path of like no resistance to anybody. One of the reasons Trump might have called Charlie Kirk to yell at him is Turning Points USA, Charlie's organization, had an event this weekend that Tucker Carlson spoke at. And here's a clip of Tucker speaking at Charlie's event.
The earnest of it drives you crazy. And it's particularly galling in the case of Jeffrey Epstein and the whole constellation of people around Jeffrey Epstein, all of whom seem to be getting away with scams. How do you know they're getting away with scams? I'll tell you how, because they're useless and they're rich.
Wow. He's stealing my bitch, right? He's stealing my fucking bitch.
He's impressive. Yeah. Most useless people who have no actual skills become billionaires.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, again, don't get me wrong. I hear you, Tucker, but like, But where is that coming from? Or that, you know, just again, shows you just how wild this whole situation is, but he's.
He goes on to lay into our tennis buddy Bill Ackman for like five straight fucking minutes there. Just rip him apart to the point where Sachs had to post like a hour long Twitter screed in defense of himself about how he's a self-made man. Not really. But so as for the Democratic side of this, like, I think what I would do, I saw a clip of John Ossoff this weekend where he basically just made fun of it, where he's like, he really thought this sex pest was going to release the Epstein files. The audience laughed and just moved on. And that's probably all you can do here.
Mm-hmm.
Ro Khanna said he's going to introduce a bill as an attachment to the Genius Act, the crypto bill that'll demand the release of the Epstein files. And I got to say, man, the reason I would go with Ossoff's line is Trump did break a campaign promise. That's probably what I'd go after him for here. What Ro Khanna's doing is trying to peel off the QAnon types by going back to promising them a conclusion to their story.
Right.
You're picking up Trump's campaign promise and trying to carry the ball forward. That feels really stupid to me.
Yeah,
because like,
but it could. But he also, I feel like they do this a lot. It, you know, they say a lot of things and about like I'm gonna introduce this or fucking call it with while knowing that like, well, no, you ain't, or not that no, you ain't, but it ain't gonna amount to anything or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But it gives you like a good soundbite or like a leg to stand on when you know shit you can say. Or like, you know, so it could also just be that, because that's one thing. It's like, we just all know that's never going to happen. Like, even if he does do that, Congress is not going to like actually pass a. Also, even if they did, Trump would have to sign it, right? If it was a bill. So then he'd have to refuse to sign it. And so that's part. But anyway, so.
If it sabotaged the passing of the crypto bill, then that would be good, I guess.
But
But also, like, what if they release the files and Trump isn't personally implicated at all? Like, have you thought about that? Because it's very possible. Trump and Epstein were close friends until about 2004 when they had a falling out over a real estate deal. Okay?
Yeah, so, but do you think that – I don't know. Why would – Trump is the most, you know, narcissistic and selfish person alive. If he genuinely wasn't implicated, why would he put himself through all this? Because of all the friends he has who are implicated, who – whatever he owes money to or whatever, they've got other shit on him or something, and they've demanded that he not do it, even though he himself is right. Yeah. I mean, not, no, sure. But I just still can't. I feel like at a certain point he would just tell them to fuck off if that was the case.
Yeah. Without knowing, there's also, they might've just like, this is the stupidest version of reality, but they might've just relented to the fact that it is an intelligence thing. And the deep state made a good case for them to why it should, these facts should not be put out there in a public record because it would endanger shit or something. I don't fucking know. But like, I do know that I don't think Trump would have like had a falling out with a guy over money who had blackmail material of him having sex with children. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, that's the part. This is the part where you get in. Like, to be fair to Democrats, like, maybe. I don't know how. Like, it's really difficult to talk about Jeffrey Epstein and sound sane.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm already, you just said that, it does make sense, but it's also like, it's possible at that point in time, he didn't know, none of them knew, you know, they were all doing it, they were all going and partying there, and they all knew it was going down or whatever. Maybe they didn't know that he was, you'd be stupid to not assume he was keeping some kind of receipts or whatever, but either that they didn't know at that time he was doing it, or that it was like, well, it ain't just me, it's literally every powerful person in this fucking, you know, sphere right now, or in his orbit, and so, you know, he ain't gonna burn all of them, and I don't know, there's just, you can always... Like you said earlier, you could just think your fucking, you know, you could think your brain into fucking pretzels, trying to make sense of all this or decide what's really going on.
Right. Like, cause it's like, you just start describing it and you think like people, like if you just straightforward did like a paragraph long explanation of what Jeffrey Epstein's whole deal was, people would walk away from you at a party. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you sound like a lunatic. He's a billionaire sex trafficker who hangs out with presidents and Prince Andrew and Saudi Emiratis on his private island, which features a temple and a giant sundial. Show these pictures, Matt. Like, these are the pictures are from NBC News. This is not from the dark web or some shit, if you guys aren't familiar. I don't know why you would have a giant sundial. I guess it's a cool art piece, but, like, when you factor in, there's also the temple here. Show this blue temple, Matt.
Nah, they're temple, doing weird shit around that.
Right. So... This could be anything, but here's the part that's even weirder about this fucking thing that's on his island, is like whatever the governing authority is over the building permits for like unincorporated like U.S. Virgin Islands that are privately owned, the paperwork he filed to build in that spot, it was supposed to be a music pavilion, so he misled the local government in order to build that thing, which is what the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like. It's hard not to talk about Epstein stuff, like also without sounding vaguely anti-Semitic, because his name's Epstein. And when we get to the Epstein as a spy stuff, everyone's best guess or second best guess for who he worked for is Mossad. But he's also like good friends with former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who rode in his plane 30 times. He was heavily invested in the Israeli defense tech industry, Epstein was. But like, I'm the last person in the world who's going to talk about Israel as a country and not as a religion. And like, Israel is a country that does spy on us a lot. We know that because they've been caught doing it in a bunch of high profile scandals. They stole the nuclear program from us. So if we don't talk about Israel like it's like Russia and the P-tape as opposed to a blood libel for a second.
Yeah.
Pretend it's like French intelligence, like the DGSC. They're running honeypot schemes and they're in their country where they can say age of consent when like 15 years old. Okay. If you're not super familiar with the Epstein stuff, everything I'm talking about here is like in the public record, triple sourced reported facts. Okay. I'm not conspiracy theorizing here. Epstein's inexplicable work wife who didn't have a job, Ghislaine Maxwell, her father was a double agent from Mossad in the UK. And when he died mysteriously, naked, drowned off the side of his boat, Israel gave him a state funeral. All right. There's also like the level of impunity Jeffrey Epstein was allowed to operate at going back to the fucking 70s. He just failed up constantly.
Right.
He got a job as a teacher at an elite Manhattan private school while having no college degree or teacher certification. He got fired for being bad at his job and for hitting on the underage students. Then he got hired at Bear Stearns because the father of one of the kids who went to his school liked him. The guy named Ace Greenberg ran Bear Stearns. But Ace Greenberg also lent a bunch of money to Trump, if you want to go back that far to the level of their personal connections. Then Epstein got fired from Bear Stearns for SEC violations, then immediately started his own firm with whose money he came from a working class family.
Right.
And then he would tell people at parties and shit in the early 80s he worked for the CIA.
Yeah, no, I know. It's all fucking super weird. It's always like, where did he just has all this money? And, you know, runs in the most elite circles on earth and everything. But it's like, it's like, okay, whatever. He's the party guy for those people. But like, how did he get into that position to begin with? You know, like, how did he get the money and get into, like, it's weird as hell. I mean,
same way you get to Carnegie Hall, baby. Practice, yeah. I guess. Yeah. So going back to the breadcrumbs that make people think he's a spy, this is according to NBC News and the Daily Beast. During the 1980s, Epstein possessed an Austrian passport that had his photo with a false name, and the passport said he was a resident of Saudi Arabia. In the 80s, one of Epstein's clients was a Saudi businessman named Adnan Khashoggi, who was the middleman in transferring American weapons from Israel to Iran as part of Iran-Contra. So Epstein's either a spy or a huge liar, which you can be both, or he's just completely amoral, which is the norm for working in international finance and money laundering for all these different kinds of people, right? I do want to say, when he was briefly in prison, like, so the Florida court case, I think the sequence of events goes something like this. West Palm Beach County Sheriff is investigating Epstein. They have they start with a mom of a 14-year-old filing a complaint. They round up 30-some victims. But the DA will not prosecute him. So they call in the FBI. The FBI, the U.S. attorney's Alex Acosta, who goes on to be Trump's labor secretary, gives him a sweetheart deal for 18 months in prison for sexually assaulting 36 children. When he was in prison, he got the Goodfellas experience. They put him in a private wing of the prison by himself with an office and a TV. He got work release after only 3.5 months, where he got 6 days a week. He got 12 hours a day out of prison. He would get picked up from the prison by a goddamn limo driver.
Dude, see, I'm saying it. I want to know, man. I want to know. Yeah. I want to have answers to all this shit and make it all make sense, you know, let alone the fucking, hardcore conspiracy theorists and stuff. It's no wonder they've dug into this so hard. It's wild.
It's I don't know what's happening, but I do know I'm being lied to.
Right, exactly. That's the one thing everyone can agree on about it.
Yeah. I do want to say, if he was a spy, he was pretty fucking bad at it. For the possibility no one's considering here is he was a spy, but the sex criminal stuff was a hobby and not part of his professional operation, which people fuck up at work, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Here's a magazine profile of him from 2002 I want to read from. It was headlined, Jeffrey Epstein, International Money Man of Mystery. 2002 is 4.5 years after Austin Powers came out. So the headline of this piece is basically saying, Jeffrey Epstein, spy? Mm-hmm. he comes with cash to burn, a fleet of airplanes, and a keen eye for the ladies, to say nothing of a relentless brain that challenges Nobel Prize-winning scientists across the country and for financial markets around the world. Ever since the Post's Page Six ran an item about the president's late September visit to Africa with Kevin Spacey and Chris Tucker mm-hmm. on his new benefactor's customized Boeing 727, the question of the day has been, who in the world is Jeffrey Epstein? It's probably bad for a spy to be in a New York magazine. I just want to say that. Also, the government of Israel put out a statement today. They're forced to deny that Jeffrey Epstein ever worked for Mossad. And I got to see, the fact that the Ehud Barak rode in his plane 30 times leads me to believe them, because that's it's not exactly a fucking covert op.
Mm-hmm.
So, all this stuff is so stupid. And going back to Alex Acosta, Jeffrey Epstein was brought up when he was being interviewed as part of his vetting process for Trump to be in Trump's cabinet. He was, in quote here, I was told Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone. Then it was a quote above his pay grade. Trump, the transition team, accepted that is enough and hired him to be labor secretary until he was fired for the more Epstein reporting came to light. And Acosta, do you know what he's doing now, Trey?
No.
Nothing. Right. He completely vanished from the limelight after the Epstein stuff came. That just feels like telling to me he wasn't that old. And these political psychos are super fucking ambitious. Which leads us back to where we started the story, which was the cabinet meeting last Tuesday. When the question that set Trump off to Pam Bondi was, she was asked whether Jeffrey Epstein was a spy agency asset. And she said, we can get back to you on that. I have no knowledge about that. We can get back to you on that. She could have said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
she can't say yes.
Right.
I think a maybe is a fucking yes.
Right. Yeah, right. No, I know. Yeah. It's like you said, she could have said no. And it's like, unless she does know that, that she can't say no. Or whatever, or it will make things worse, or has the potential to in the future. Or she at least is aware of the possibility. And I don't know, man. The whole thing is pretty nuts. Yeah.
I don't know how I would talk about this if I was a Democratic politician or pundit or whatever, but I do know I don't know whether I would just make fun of it. I don't know whether to call for anything. But our favorite congressman, Richie Torres, is cutting a third path which is basically doing the meme for the Conan podcast. The guy goes, "My friend Jeff Epstein, the wealthy financier." Here's Richie over the
That's
weekend.
That's Jim Downey, by the way.
Oh yeah, funny guy.
Well, we've been clear that the Epstein controversy is a distraction of Donald Trump's own making. He was fanning the flames of the Epstein conspiracy theory during the campaign, and so now he's essentially an arsonist pretending to be a firefighter. And there was no need for an investigation. The medical examiner had investigated the matter and found that Epstein died by suicide. The same conclusions were drawn by the Bureau of Federal Prisons. There was no need for a new investigation unless the purpose was to legitimize a conspiracy theory.
All right. So now we're going to get conspiratorial here. I think what's happened on there is some low-key, like, anti-Semitism on, like, the scale of, like, soft bigotry, low expectations kind of thing. So, Richie, for context, we've talked about him before, Blake. He's a black and Puerto Rican from the poorest district in America, which is 85% black and Latino. Yet he spends a ton of time on Israel stuff. I'm just presenting you with facts here. Politico has described him as Israel's loudest supporter. And here's what he was tweeting on Juneteenth of last year. He was talking about Israel. His number one individual donor last year was AIPAC. They gave him $536,000 for OpenSecrets.org, and he got $1.1 million from pro-Israel groups overall. And then today, he's trying to say, hey, look, there's no conspiracy. Epstein killed himself. Let's all forget about it, because he thinks Israel did it.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Because then today, somebody must have called him and be like, actually, he's not Mossad, bro. You don't have to do this. Because here's what he tweeted today, Trey. After fucking doing that over the weekend. Dear Donald Trump and Pam Bondi, release the Epstein files. Whatever happened to promises made, promises kept.
Okay, so he got new marching orders, obviously.
Yes, he just went on TV popping off, reflexively defending Jeffrey Epstein and trying to quiet this down because he thought it'd be good for whoever the fuck he thinks he works for.
Right.
And now he completely flipped. All this stuff will drive anybody insane. Fuck it. Just like Richie Torres, please get another line of work.
Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows if sense will ever be made of it, and probably not likely to do it here, but we could cover it if and when it does happen. But in the meantime, it, you know, sure is interesting stuff. So we'll see how it all goes. But thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next time. Oh, yes. Please go to TreyCrowder.com, get tickets to come see me in my upcoming shows. Check out my special Trash Daddy. Check out producer Matt's audio exclusive Good Skews. That's on the podcast feed of this show only. And consider signing up on Patreon. $5 a month. Get two bonus episodes, including intermittent Q&A's that we do with y'all. weeklyskews.com/more, or go to Patreon and search for my name. You'll find it either way. If you keep watching these on Skews Day, we'll keep doing them, and we'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.
Skew.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.